I'm Peter Block here in New Orleans at ACC 2019. With me is Deepak Bhatt from the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. And it is the end of day one, and we have a wrap-up, Deepak, to talk about. We have some interesting trials today.
We do.
We have Apple Heart, we have Pioneer Heart Failure, and then two depression trials, sort of an interesting, little bit of a sidebar, but I think we need to talk about it. So let's talk about Apple Heart, a disruptive technology. I love that negative, positive term, but it is disruptive technology potentially.
Tell me about Apple Heart. You can be disruptive sometimes.
We can be very disruptive. Apple Heart, go ahead.
Well, I think it's a great study, and not only are we talking about it, everybody's talking about it here. A lot of buzz about it, highly anticipated. And I think the reason is, in a sense, I don't think even matter what we think of it as physicians. Patients are doing it. Not even patients, just people who aren't even sick are doing it, right? I know so many people that are wearing an Apple Watch, and I think it's great now to have this huge bolus of data from a well-done study just showing us exactly how's it performing in real life. And it is picking up things like AFib. That's pretty accurate, maybe not accurate to the degree we would want in
but
a
80,
just general
70
healthy
to 80%
population.
Is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I mean, the concern, of course, is if you're using it in millions of healthy people that are 20 years old, you know, how much true AFib are you catching? Yeah. Even a low false positive rate can
generate
a lot of work.
Yeah, but even in this study, there was only a 0.5% rate, yep. Positive reporting rate, I guess I should say, for positive or possible atrial fibrillation. So it's really low in the general population. But if you screen and then use the Apple Heart business or the Apple Watch, it might be a much better way to do it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, the reality from a physician's perspective isn't, you know, should we be recommending this? Because patients aren't going to be coming to us for a recommendation. They're just going to be doing it.
That's right.
And again, healthy people are going to be doing it. What we need to learn is, with this massive data coming in, how will we handle it? How will our offices not be overwhelmed? Yeah. And how can we actually improve patient care? And I think this study is an important first step in
answer.
That way.
I've got the answer for that.
Oh, what is the answer?
Yeah. Artificial intelligence is going to do this.
Exactly.
No, seriously, that's what artificial intelligence does best. Huge amounts of data, and then the ability to drill down into that and figure out what it really shows.
Well, I'm worried that artificial intelligence is going to replace us here. What are we going to do if we don't get
to
do this?
It'll be great, then I can go to Tahiti.
Well, maybe it won't be so bad after all.
There you go. Okay, so let's move on. We have the next trial, Pioneer Heart Failure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a good sort of a follow-up trial from the American Heart, where we had combination therapy versus enalapril alone. So give us the lowdown on that one.
Sure. So the comparator again is enalapril versus sacubitril valsartan, showing now really great outcomes with in-hospital initiation of sacubitril valsartan. So to me, that's further building on the story that there should be a drug that we use more of in people with heart failure, and that initiating it early and in hospital is not only safe, but it's actually also incrementally effective.
And so it really starts the patients earlier, which is really what this trial tells us. The other interesting thing is, for those of us who watch the evening news, I mean, the ads are all over this thing, and it's quite clear that population of patients out there with heart failure are going to pick up and say, look, this is something I need to take.
Sure. And, you know, in general, I'm not a huge believer in that sort of direct-to-consumer advertising. But in this case, you know, actual physician use of the drug is much lower than the data suggests. So, you know, maybe the advertising is actually a good thing in this situation if it increases appropriate use.
I'm not a big fan either, but if it does help, there's nothing the matter with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's finish up with these two depression trials. There's two depression trials that were presented today. One, the Hopeful Heart, and the second, I always forget, Cardiac's Quality of Life. The Hopeful Heart was a heart failure study, and it essentially looked at depression with heart failure patients. And the Cardiac's QOL was an acute coronary syndrome one. I'm going to start with the latter because it was a negative trial with acute coronary syndromes. Whether you recognize depression, treated depression, and so forth, made no difference in outcomes and quality of life. But the Hopeful Heart made a big difference in the way patients felt. Interestingly, they didn't survive longer, and they didn't have fewer hospitalizations necessarily. But in fact, they felt better. And is that a reasonable endpoint for your patients? I think so.
I agree so.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're taking care of somebody and they feel better, that's your end game anyway.
Absolutely.
So I think the Hopeful Heart tells us a couple of things. 50 to 60% of patients on average have depression that have heart failure. No surprise, perhaps, if you're in the hospital and have heart failure.
Right.
But if you treat them, they get better symptomatically. And there's nothing the matter with that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the studies are really useful, first of all, just as a message to cardiologists, a big chunk of our audience back home, that we should probably be thinking more about depression than we do, and maybe even screening for it, and especially thinking of it in folks with end-stage heart failure where, a lot of them, understandably, might be suffering from depression. So if we can identify it and help it, why not? It could only improve their quality of life.
Yeah,
so.
The interesting thing is, the depression may cause more symptoms, but do the symptoms actually cause more depression? And that's a circle that the investigators are going to look into a little bit harder to see whether they can figure that one out.
But in a sense, it doesn't even almost matter therapeutically.
Exactly.
As if we can get them feeling better, doesn't matter, chicken, egg, which came first, always tough to sort out.
I agree. And a psychiatrist helping out in their combined treatment groups is a good option for some patients, clearly, because they do get better. So,
yeah, I think sometimes, we might assume that, of course this patient's depressed, they have end-stage heart failure, or they just had a huge MI. But I think instead of just attributing that to being natural, maybe better to identify, say, that's a problem, get the psychiatrist involved, see if they can help.
And the PI said to me, remember, depression kills. That's the bumper sticker. And it does, so let's keep it in mind. Yeah. Thanks, Deepak.
Thank you.